Hey, do you want to get your digital comics for even cheaper? Well, we are here to help. Go to comixology.com, and when you buy $15 worth of comics, you get $5 off when you use the code Infamous. That's right. Thanks to your buddies in the Infamous podcast, we're getting you $5 off every time you spend $15 at comixology.com. Just use the code Infamous. Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 135. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this week we are talking two topics, Johnny.
Just two?
Just two. We went and saw Black Panther, not together, separately, but we saw Black Panther. And then we're going to talk the end of Invincible.
Okay.
So, Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to think about where you would put it in your Marvel rankings or like where it might fall? Like top five, top ten?
Probably in the top
bottom
10.
Bottom three. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The bottom's still Age of Ultron. Yeah. So the bottom probably will always be Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Of the cinematic universe.
Of the cinematic universe. That's right. I put it in my top five.
Yeah.
My favorite is still Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Followed closely by Guardians of the Galaxy.
All right.
And then I felt like this was on par, if not just a little below Civil War.
Okay.
And then Black Panther. And so
yeah, I haven't thought about it at all.
And then for me, it's Ant-Man.
I don't even know what my favorite Marvel movie is.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
I don't know.
I like them all. I mean, to be honest, like, even Age of Ultron, as much as I don't like it,
yeah,
like, I still will watch it.
Well, yeah.
It's not a horrible movie.
I'm not pulling that one out if I'm pulling a movie, a Marvel movie.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah. It's if it's on or like we're scrolling through.
Like if they were all streaming.
Yeah.
Say a Disney network or streaming network.
Perhaps on a Disney app of some kind.
I was going to say perhaps if there was like a Disney streaming channel or something, I would probably watch Age of Ultron.
I'm really hoping.
I'm not going to make the effort to pull it out of my stack of Blu-rays to watch.
Well, see, all mine are
digital.
I'll
find Avengers before I pull out Age of Ultron.
So all mine are digital. So
it's not the
same level of effort it takes to watch something.
Well, right.
But I'll be flipping through like iTunes and like something come. I'm like, oh
yeah,
it's $5.99 or $4.99. I'm just gonna buy it. And it's like, you already own it. I'm like, yeah, but I don't know where it is.
Oh, you own a hard copy of it. Yeah.
But anyway, this movie was really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like that it's like, oh my God, I can't believe this movie was really good. I mean, Ryan Coogler is a fantastic storyteller.
I was going to say, what did you ask me? You asked me, did it meet all the...
Did it live up to the hype?
Did it live up to the hype? And I answered, it lived up to my hype.
Which is the exact answer I was expecting
right,
from you.
Because so. I didn't... It wasn't like I blacked myself out on any of it.
And
like
I didn't,
you,
I didn't
like you usually do on these movies, but... I mean, you know, I like the character.
Yeah.
I like the character before they even like mentioned him in any of the Marvel Cinematics universe. He's one of my favorite Marvel characters of one of the B-listers, I guess, in the Marvel universe. He's never been an A-lister that I could feel.
So I have a question. Like this brings up a really
And I don't own that many black I'm not a Black Panther fan to the point that I own a bunch of the comics and I know his history. I just like the idea of that character, and I like what that character does when he shows up.
So you said he's a B-list character.
I think he would be included in the B-list.
So, but before Iron Man came out in the movies, what level would you have considered Iron Man?
An A-lister.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I never considered
most of the Avengers. I would have considered most of the main Avengers were A-lister characters.
Okay.
So Cap, Hulk, Thor, Iron Man, and then you go into the Fantastic Four as an A-list.
See, I think for me,
you know,
like I definitely agree with the B list, but
Spider-Man's an A-lister.
I put Iron Man on that B list.
The X-Men as a group are an A-lister.
Sure.
Yeah.
But like, I think of the X-Men, it's Wolverine. It's Cable, it's Deadpool.
Yeah.
You know, it's
Storm.
Cyclops.
I would say Storm's an A-lister. Yeah.
Okay, I can get that. I think they did such, the Russos did such a fantastic job introducing this character to us in Civil War. And Ryan Coogler, so did you watch Fruitvale Station yet?
I haven't watched that one.
So I watched that the other night before going to see Black Panther.
Okay.
And man, one, Michael B. Jordan might be my favorite actor.
Yeah.
That kid just can flat out do whatever you need him to do.
Yeah.
You know, I keep going back to when he was Wallace on The Wire.
Right, yeah.
Like, that kid was awesome, and I know you haven't watched it.
I mean, the first introduction I had to him was Friday Night Lights.
And so that's where I was going next, is his character, the story that was part of his school.
Yeah.
I much prefer to the first two seasons of Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When they're at East, I prefer that way more than the West.
Because East seemed more real.
Yeah.
And West seemed like a fantastical.
Right.
School.
Well, it was like Friday Night Lights or Varsity Blues or
right. You know, well, yeah, more Varsity stuff. Blues where you know they're funded and everything mm-hmm. else. And East seems like what most high schools deal with,
right?
You know, they don't have money for equipment. They don't have money for crap,
right?
And they usually, you know, have a sports head organizer, mm-hmm. you know, that wants to make the team good, but without money, it's kind of hard.
Exactly.
And that's what that part of that. And yeah, I think that is the preferable part of Friday Night Lights.
And then he had a great run on Parenthood.
I haven't watched that yet.
It was Jason Kadams did both shows.
Right, yeah.
Friday Night Lights ended.
So he's actually on there?
He brought in a bunch of people.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, okay. Here and there. But anyway, so the kid is just awesome. I mean, he wasn't even bad. He wasn't bad in Fantastic Four. He's the lone thing that I enjoy about that.
Yeah.
I just think Johnny Storm wasn't the right character for him.
No, that movie wasn't the right movie.
Well, it wasn't the right movie for anybody.
Even Miles Teller can do a better job.
I like Miles Teller.
I don't think he's that good of an actor. Just because
he's
of the
got
stuff
his
I've
niche
seen
of
him.
Movies.
Yeah.
Did you see Whiplash?
I've seen Whiplash, but I mean, Whiplash was an exception.
That's
he
what
usually
I was about
plays
to say.
The smarmy.
He's the stoner kid.
The smarmy smartass.
Yeah.
Is what the one who you don't like, but you act like you like him.
Sure.
Type person. I mean, he was that in Divergent, mm-hmm. you know, the Divergent movie I've seen him in, and, you know, a couple other things that I've seen him in. But, like, Whiplash was something where his agent got lucky getting him that role, I think.
I think so. Because, you know, Whiplash was a short.
But I think I would have fired my agent after Fantastic Four.
Yeah, definitely. All of them.
Yeah, every single one of them I would have fired
especially
my
Kate
agent.
Especially Kate Mara. All right, so back to Black Panther, though.
She'll be in a Marvel cinematic movie.
I'm sure she
too.
Will.
Yeah,
her and then Jamie Bell.
Yeah, well, yeah, Jamie Bell would actually be cool, like as a villain. And I think the Marvel cinematic universe.
I always thought Jamie Bell would make.
He actually
a good,
would be a good Doctor Doom.
He would. I always thought he'd make a good Multiple Man in the X-Men.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. So Ryan Coogler succeeded in making this very cool layered new world within the MCU.
Right.
The whole technology, like we got the view of the techno jungle at the end of Civil War a little bit, you know, when Cap and Bucky are there putting Bucky.
Well, and
cool
they didn't do a lot with the techno
storage.
Jungle in this either, and where I was like, that's fine. Of all the things that I wanted to see that I know Black Panther, that was the one where I was like, you can save that for the next movie. Actually, you could save that for Avengers Infinity War because
so
I'm betting
thought,
that plays
right?
a role
that's
in
That's going to have to
yeah.
be part of the, yeah. the thing. So the whole thing with the tribes, I love the history of the world according to Black Panther at the beginning.
The mummy opening?
Yeah, exactly.
Literally, that's what it was. Yeah. And the thing is being that, you know, we're fans of what we are and we know what we know how movies get set up in that, it came from space.
Yeah.
Why are they attacking Wakanda? Everybody's like, why are they attacking
right.
Vibranium came from space and might have had something else in there too.
Well, and you had conjectured that we would see one of the Infinity
Gems. I figured the last Infinity Gems in Wakanda.
Right.
I didn't think we would actually. I thought it might have been like a stinger at the end.
Stinger at the end.
But I'm like, when we got in the movie and we're watching the movie, I told her, I said, the stinger at the end is going to be Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be Winter Soldier because they had talked about the Road to Infinity War comic where it shows. His sister, Shuri fixing
right.
Bucky. So it's like, we get that at the end.
Okay, so...
Not spoiling it,
I
because...
I
think everybody went and seen this movie this weekend.
Yeah.
Most people.
I'm going to ask a question, and you can let me know if you understand the part of the comics, but do you understand the Easter egg that is the White Wolf?
I didn't get the White Wolf, but I like that they called him the White Wolf, because
so
I thought that was kind of cool.
There's the... What are they called? The lady soldiers.
The Dormammu?
The Dormammu.
Yeah.
There's another like sect.
Oh, okay.
That is men.
Okay.
And they dress in white Black Panther costumes.
Oh, okay.
But the leader is a white wolf and he's got a W and a cape. Oh, kinda, it kind of looks like Nomad. But it wasn't Bucky.
Right.
So I think that's just kind of a
And it might be like just a wink. Legend in that in the MCU. So, I like what they did with Manape.
Manape was great.
I don't, and I'm like that. You know, that was the best way to do Manape. That didn't make it look stupid.
Yeah, or extremely racist.
Well, yeah.
So,
well, I mean, even the way they came in, like the way they like announced themselves, and now I'm like, that is the coolest way to do it.
They were awesome.
Yeah,
I love the scene where they're like, "I need an army," and he's like, "No." yeah. So, I think it's funny because Chadwick Boseman. You have Chadwick Boseman. You have Angela Bassett. You have Lupita
Nagayo.
Nagayo, thank you.
Yeah.
You have.
I'm pretty sure that's all you said her last name.
Dania. What's how do you pronounce Michonne's name?
Oh, Danai Gurira.
Yeah, thank you. And then you have Daniel Kaluuya.
Kaluuya.
And you then
Academy Award nominated actor.
So, but then you throw Michael B. Jordan into this mix, and it's just this great cast with chemistry, and they all were. Marvel has done a fantastic job of casting, and this movie is no exception.
Told people who didn't see it, because there are a few people who haven't seen it that I work with. I said the nice thing about this movie, even though it had a well-rounded African-American, you know, British, African-British cast, whatever you want to say, black cast, just say black cast. As well-rounded as it was, no Denzel.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, it's like, it's nice that we did not have like Denzel or James Earl Jones show up or somebody like that. I mean, Forest Whitaker and Angela Bassett, it was like, okay, good
Angela
enough.
Angela Bassett was great. I thought Forest Whitaker just plays the same character every time now. Like,
he plays the character from Species.
I would say you could probably swap out his character from Rogue One.
No, see, I don't feel like similar. That character and this character were similar, because the Rogue One character was like more a shell-shocked veteran.
Right.
And this character was just the mystic.
So Sterling K. Brown is in this movie.
Spoiler.
We talked a lot about Sterling K. Brown last week. So his character is in Joe
Biggest
Who.
Surprise in the movie, because dude, I hadn't shocked. Looked at any no cast. Idea. I didn't look like, at any of it. Holy crap.
All right. So, but his character's name is Njobu, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking they can't get Dennis Haysbert to play a character who's got the name Jobu in there because of Major League. Yeah. Just kind of a, you know.
Yeah, he's another one that, you know, surprisingly didn't show
up. Now, I would have liked him in the Zuri role.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think someone a little more powerful and a little less, you know, twitchy is what that role needed.
Well, and especially because of his tie to the past. It's like that character doesn't look the same, and it's like it's not the same.
And he's all of a sudden 17 feet taller.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, what? He got taller and thicker, you know? It's like, okay.
But
just suspend your belief.
Suspend your disbelief.
Yeah, your disbelief just
Well, but that was
bit.
Also part of it to show, like, you know, where it was a surprise to figure out that that's who that guy was. You know.
Well, yeah.
Not that it wasn't like super obvious, but
yeah, I guess.
I can't say enough about Andy Serkis, though. He needs to stop doing all this motion cap stuff
and actually
and start acting more. Because man, Claw was great. The scenes with Claw and Killmonger are some of the best in the movie, mainly because
he did a really good like South African accent.
Yeah,
like, you know, we know what he sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but it's like
the precious.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Or like ape.
I want him to do a conversation of Golem and just Caesar.
Golem and Caesar back and forth.
Yes.
Hello, Caesar. Yeah. Give me the vibranium. Yeah, precious. Says, stupid recounting.
But it was that thing where it was like over the top, but it was over the top that worked.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm like,
well, it was
did
crazy.
Did they just say, just take Golem and go about 100 miles faster?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's
Golem,
what it was.
But you have muscle tone and body hair.
Yeah. And a robot arm to shoot.
So let's be honest. When you first saw that hand, you're like, oh, why did they put such a bad prosthetic on him? And then, holy crap, that's the coolest arm weapon ever.
You actually have to go back to Avengers Age of Ultron for the reference of what happened to his arm. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, people are probably like, why has he got that weird looking arm? And then when it opens up, it's like, oh, here we go. It's like, I was literally like pleased that they made him claw.
Yeah. But man, like I said, I think Shuri seals the show.
Yeah.
Lakeeta Wright or Lettia Wright, who we raved about for her performance in the season finale of Black Mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
She was so good. She had some of the best lines. The relationship that her and Chadwick Boseman had, you totally bought that they were older brother, little sister.
I have a little sister, and I was like, totally. Totally, like, you know, and it's that thing where my sister's smart at some things that I'm not, and I'm smart at some things that she's not. And it's like, totally, the conversations, I'm like, that's very genuine. I don't know if Ryan Coogler has a little sister, you know, I'm like, that was genuine conversation where it was like, yeah.
One of the best scenes with her, too, was when they were at the challenge, and it's, you know, anybody who wants to challenge, and she raises her hand.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just want to get this over with, this course that is killing me. Like, oh, my God, I was rolling at that one. The kid loved her. Shuri was her favorite character and the favorite part. She brought, like, I'm excited to see what she brings to Infinity War.
Right.
More than any other character that was introduced.
With the technology and
I mean, I can't wait for the scene of her and Tony where he's like, what?
Yeah. Huh? Like, you could do this with your armor. You could do this with your armor. Well, and the one thing I was like, they didn't like acknowledge that'll probably be acknowledged in Infinity War. Howard Stark has an association with the Wakandans already.
Obviously. Yeah.
Because he made a shield out of vibranium. So it's like, what's the story?
I think that's being saved for when Captain America's in the room.
Right.
I think people would have been like, oh, why are you shoehorning Howard Stark into...
Or when Tony's in the room with the shield, because he'll have the shield.
Right.
Yeah.
You think he gets it back in Infinity War?
Cap? Or,
yeah.
No, I think that Shuri probably make him a new one.
Yeah.
And it won't be that one that we see in the preview where he pops it.
The little gauntlet thing that pops.
I really think that was just put in there. So it's like, oh, he has a shield. And it's like, no, he's going to have the shield that was the one they've used last when he was Hydra.
Right.
The shield that splits.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think that might be what we see.
With the two pieces. And he can do both arms. And
or it might be that shield, but it actually splits like that so he can defend more. Yeah.
That's cool. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm gushing. But I feel like this was really good. One interesting thing is this movie was not nearly as political as I thought it was going to be.
No, not at all.
And Angel made a very interesting point as we were walking out saying, it's funny, Zootopia was a more political movie than Black Panther.
Yeah.
With, you know, kind of, Zootopia kind of beats you over the head with some themes.
See, I don't feel like they do. Like, I don't feel like Zootopia really beats you over the head. But it gives you the acknowledgement of it indirectly.
I don't know. I mean, some of Zootopia is like, you're a meat eater, so you're automatically like predisposed to being evil kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So there's one thing. It's interesting that, you know, they wanted to stay so isolated.
Yeah.
And
it was the tradition.
It was the tradition, but it kind of harkens back to some pre-World War II U.S., like United States, isolationism and kind of keeping our technology to ourselves and what we make, we keep, what we eat, we keep, that kind of thing. So I found that really interesting, and I liked the whole thing at the end. I saw a bunch of people online wondering why Oakland was in there. Why would they have an outreach center in Oakland?
Did they not watch the beginning of the movie?
Well, Ryan Coogler's from Oakland.
Well,
that's why Oakland was in.
But did they not watch the beginning of the
movie? But asking why they would send spies to Oakland, that sort of thing.
I think it was just where...
It was just the director's prerogative of where he wanted to put them.
Jobu went.
Right.
Yeah, it's where Jobu went.
He went to hide.
Well, he was on the outreach.
Well, I know, but I mean, he was there too.
The thing about it is, and you know, it's one of those things where you really have to pay attention to the movie. Wakanda's always done outreach. Where it's sending people out to help.
They have spies.
In some way. Yeah, you call them spies. They don't call them spies. They liberators and other type of things.
I mean, Moscow, because that's what Nakia was a spy.
She called herself a spy, right. But you know, it's not the way that I looked at it.
Star Wars missed the boat covering her up as a CGI character.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so pretty.
But like,
I mean, she is, and she makes some of the great faces. The way she emotes with her face.
That's why they did that.
Why would you waste her with a CG character with Maz Kanata?
I think the idea of this movie was that links back to Civil War.
Yeah.
Was that T'Chaka was already doing outreach, starting to do outreach because he could see the world was growing.
Right.
And when T'Challa confronts him in the, you know, the netherworld.
Right.
And tells him, we can't be isolationists anymore. We have to, you know, be part of something, and that, or we're going to die.
Right.
And, you know, because he realizes that Killmonger is the way he is because they could have helped.
So he was, here's the fun thing about Killmonger. He was right.
Well, right. Well, I mean, that's what I think that
he was too,
T'Challa
understood. He took it like a step too far.
Well, yeah, he went like megalomaniac. But T'Challa realized it, and that's why he told all of the Panthers, you know, we can't be this way anymore.
Right.
And that's why he was able to come back, is because they all realized, too, that, you know, yeah, you're going to have to evolve.
So we're sitting there, and the first time he goes to the Netherworld and all the Panthers are sitting there, I just hear Angel go, Mufasa, Mufasa, Mufasa. It was a little Lion King-y at parts. But,
I made a joke that I could see a Saturday Night Live skit where they could get Eddie Murphy to come in.
Oh, God.
And do it where where Zamunda is next door neighbor to Wakanda and that just do something funny. With that.
Yeah.
I mean, if they could get Eddie Murphy to come on there and actually do some kind of skit.
So that would be hilarious. Saturday Night Live would have to be funny again.
Well, yeah.
Which that boat sailed a couple years ago.
I seen Sterling K. Brown's going to be on there, though.
Well, it doesn't mean it's still going to be funny.
They have funny parts.
They have a funny sketch every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Alexa for Old People one was pretty awesome.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, you should watch that one.
I'll look it up. So, man, I just, this was really good. I give this a solid 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
I think
I can agree with that one.
It opens the door to the larger MCU, but at the same time.
Well, I told her, I said, there's your leader of the new Avengers.
Yeah. But at the same time, we can still get some really cool self-contained Wakanda stories moving forward.
Well, and plus, instead of Black Panther being introduced in Fantastic Four, Black Panther can be the link to Fantastic Four showing up in the MCU.
And apparently there was a Namor Easter egg in there somewhere I didn't look because I didn't have time to go look at the 9,000 Easter eggs they threw into this movie.
Were there not many?
There were a ton of, like, I've seen a bunch of lists, like 50 Easter eggs you missed and that kind of stuff.
Those are clickbait.
Yeah.
That's all clickbait.
Which I haven't clicked on any of them. Right. So, I did see some stuff on Twitter talking about there was a Namor, like kind of a Namor Easter egg in there.
Okay.
Something to do with one of the knives that he stabs him with at some point or another. Because if you remember, Black Panther and Namor hate each other.
Yeah.
And Namor flooded Wakanda during the AVX stuff. So. All right.
Funny that Wakanda is landlocked in this movie, so that won't be happening.
No. Stan Lee's cameo, just kind of eh.
What was Stan Lee's cameo?
He was in the
casino, wasn't
but
he?
I did kind of like how he took all the chips, and it was kind of like, oh, wow, that's a big middle finger to Jack Kirby.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, anyway, so 9 out of 10, I think it's a great movie. It's a very inclusive movie.
Looking forward more to Martin Freeman.
Yeah,
in these
more
movies,
Freeman,
I think that, you know, if Sam Jackson is done at this point, as
Martin
Fury,
Freeman,
Freeman is the not the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., but the head of whatever
sword.
Well, if they do that,
Everett K. Ross, man. One last thing: the box office. This movie crushed it. 201 million domestic, only the fifth movie all time to break the 200 million mark.
Was it number 5 in the all time?
Two
Star Wars movies?
Force Awakens is number 1, Last Jedi, Jurassic World,
Avengers,
and then this one.
Oh, so two Marvels, two Star Wars, and a dinosaur movie.
Four Disneys and a dinosaur movie.
Universal.
Yeah.
Universal's, they actually try to do decent stuff.
I'm excited to see Chadwick Boseman and Peter Parker and Tom Holland work together in Infinity War.
If they do.
If they do, that would be awesome. If it's not Infinity War 1, it's Infinity War 2.
Spider-Man's getting transported back to the Sonyverse.
Yeah.
That's what that big ring thing is. Yeah. It's up in space, oh, okay. And he's going to get sucked back and be in the Venom movie.
Just real quick, this movie in a weekend made what Justice League did domestically its entire run. So...
It is what it is.
This will be a $1 billion movie.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
It'll probably be $1.5 billion.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing. So.
All right.
I probably won't go back and see it again, but
I'd like to see it one more time.
Yeah.
But I don't know when.
I'll go see it in 3D maybe. I think that would be kind of cool.
I might go see it on Friday, actually, now that I think about it.
The Vibranium Cave will look cool in 3D, I think.
Yeah. All right.
I think the stuff in the Ghost World will look cool in 3D.
That might be. See, again, though, I don't want to mute all that blue with the 3D glasses. Yeah. But that's just me. All right. Invincible.
Yeah?
Came to an end.
Did you cry?
I did not cry. But, man, was I satisfied with that final issue.
Yeah.
It did a great job wrapping up Mark's story.
Wrapping up everybody's story, pretty much.
It touched on a whole bunch of loose ends. And then it leaves the door open.
I was going to say it left a lot of loose ends, too.
So it was interesting with Marcus,
yeah.
The kid, the yeah. son, the illegitimate son, if right. you will. Tara was interesting, the stuff with Tara.
Becoming who she becomes.
Right.
Yeah.
And then what did you think about the thing with Adam Eve?
Why, like that she can regenerate?
Yeah.
Thought that was kind of an easy out.
Yeah.
But it's the whole thing where, you know, Mark's not Mark without Eve.
Without Eve.
Yeah.
I did like, she's like, oh, I'm essentially immortal. And he just goes rad.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and that's the cool thing is he stuck with her. She was an old lady.
Yeah.
She was frail. And he still loved her. You know?
And he knows that they age differently because his father told him that. So
that's, I think, the line that he ended on with the where are you gonna be in 500 years?
Yeah.
Was great.
Yeah.
It was such a good note to end on because Nolan is everything you love is gonna die. Everyone you know now will no longer exist. And here he is 500 years later.
Yeah.
And he's got a family. He's got Eve. He's got
peace
in our time, kind of a thing.
Wife and his kid are alive, mm-hmm. and he rules the universe.
Benevolently.
Maybe.
So. yeah, maybe.
From a certain point of view.
Yeah.
From a certain point of view. It felt like the end of the Batgirl story with Stephanie.
Yeah. Yeah, it did
like
in a lot of
jumping,
ways.
Jumping. Like every two pages was a year, it felt like.
So Ryan Ottley did the first 24 pages.
Yeah.
And Corey Walker did the second 24.
Well, right.
Pages.
Yeah. You can tell their art.
Well, but I think that was a really great way to go out. Just
have both the artists who worked on
both
it.
Both of them do it. Each of them do half.
Right.
I mean, Corey Walker's art, I'm not bashing, but I definitely prefer Ottley.
Right.
I don't know, man. So let's look at the. Do you want to look at the end as a whole, like as the 12 issues?
Sure.
I mean, what did you think of how this series ended?
I mean, I like that they had to do what they had to do with killing certain characters off, and that I kind of wish they would have worked on the story with his son more.
Instead of just
the, you know,
getting a flash.
It's the thing that happens sometimes with Kirkman where I think he paints himself into a corner that he doesn't know how to get out of. And I think that the whole rape thing was just there to be there.
It was just
and
for
then throw it off. You know what? I got an idea. She raped him and now she's pregnant.
She got what she wanted out of it.
Yeah. But what do we do with it then?
I think the fact that the two of them didn't get to have a scene together left a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth because it should have been her introducing him and then him rejecting the kid and then her telling the kid what happened.
Right.
Like, you know, he didn't know about you.
Right.
There's this, there's that. you know, I did like that they left him with Debbie for a little bit, like, you know, not fully, but, you know, like, Debbie was a big part of his life.
Yeah.
Seeing Art again was a surprise in the final episode. Or issue.
I knew that that was, but, you know,
it was just fun.
They had to do it because it's like there wasn't much left to acknowledge.
Going
the acknowledgement of robot story being ended the way it was.
There was no his buddy Rick and from the couple, the gay couple from college. Like, they weren't in the final issue, which kind of stung. But, you know, I mean, they kind of wrote them off.
The thing with Monster Girl.
Yeah.
Like saying, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You chose this life.
Yeah. You chose to be the way you are. So it's like, you know, that was the best way to end him in that story.
And, well, and so this is why we don't get that future where the immortal went mad and was, you know, crazy on Earth after Mark left with the Viltrumites. Mark remembered what happened. And, you know, because if you remember in
the time travelers took him to the future for a certain reason.
And if you remember in that arc, he's like, you have to kill me. And Mark recognized he's going to need help.
Yeah.
This guy has all the best ideas, but his body gets in the way.
He doesn't need the power.
Right.
He just needs to be there to help whoever has the power. He-Man, you know, whoever.
For the honor of...
No, that's you.
I know. That's you. All right, so Threg. Let's talk about Threg for a minute.
Yeah.
He goes to the planet Nolan went to, where he had Oliver.
Well, sure, yeah.
And makes an entirely new...
It's an easy baby factory.
Viltrumite race. Yeah. Man, he was busy.
They age fast.
They age fast, but he was busy.
At a certain point, I'll think he was busy. I think it was just putting it into them medically, you know.
But
breeding farms.
It was breeding farms for sure. They were very... I didn't remember Oliver being that frail when they were fighting. Because, like, when they were smashing against, like, Mark and Alan and Nolan, and they're just, like,
well, and that probably had to do with Nolan's genetic...
With the blood of Agrol.
Yeah.
Made Oliver a little
stronger. His
genetic
power.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and you figure it is that thing where, you know, like I said, Kirkman doesn't give you all the details and that.
Sure.
Paints himself into a corner sometimes. But the idea of, you know, if it is breeding farms, they're not going to be that strong anyways because it's just his sperm. I mean, you know.
It might be synthesized or something.
Producing them that fast would make the entire race weaker.
Yeah. Mark versus Thrag on the sun.
That was one of the best parts of it. And we talked about that.
About that. But, like, I went back and I reread all 12 issues last night. I can't get over how good that was. How well drawn it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, even though they have no skin, no hair, no facial features, nothing, you still know which one is Mark and which one is Threg. And, and that is a testament to Ryan Otley's art.
Yeah.
You know, I think Nolan dying was good. The way it happened.
I think Nolan needed to die.
I think Nolan probably survived about 80 issues longer than I expected him to in this series.
I expected him to last a long time, but I think that for Mark to grow, you needed Nolan to die.
Yeah.
And Mark didn't need to grow until near the end because of the 500-year plan.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's true. I did like the plan. What did you think of... You know, kind of the whole thing that happened with Alan and Mark, you know, when it turns out that Alan knew Threg was going to essentially kill Oliver. And Alan let them know leading into the end of all things. What kind of was the catalyst for
Alan's always been like the character where you're like, he's not good and he's not bad.
He just is trying to do what's right for his
people. He's doing what's right for the coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually gets him in some kind of crap with Invincible. I mean, that's the way to look at it. It's like, you know, his mission before he became the leader of a coalition was just to go to Earth and fight Nolan.
It wasn't just Earth, but
he went to Earth and fought Nolan on the moon every so many years. Something like that. And it's like, you know, meeting Mark changed him, but not for the better.
No.
I think it just made him, you know, more scared of what's out there.
Yeah.
And especially dealing with the Viltrumites and that. So
I did find it interesting.
And the end of that when he's like, we're taking over. Mm-hmm. Mark comes in and just like, you're done.
But he had the, but it wasn't like, hey, we're just coming in and taking over. He's like, look, your coalition is hurting other planets at this point.
Yeah.
You need to stop. And Alan does the Alan thing and goes to war.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really cool way to look at it with Ursula and Terra from the outside perspective, because Terra was a conscientious objector.
Right.
She sat out. You know, Mark didn't blame her.
Well, no,
Mark still loved her. You know, and but Mark, at the
Mark
same time,
just knew what was going to happen when he told, you know, told him we're going to do this. You know, the rich can't be holding all the stuff anymore.
Right.
And that it's got to be this way. And that the interaction with the emperor of the planet, where it was the gladiator battle, was probably some of the best writing.
Oh yeah,
that Kirkman's done. Like, just the you're not going to kill me, and that, and it's like, no, this is why.
Well, my favorite is, this is our champion. You send someone so small out here. Like, it was just such a, it was
the arrogance,
right,
and then it was like the arrogance turned around to, you're not going to hurt us.
Well, I like when he tried to kill Mark.
Yeah,
and he's like, wait a second.
Yeah,
you're stronger than your champion. And Mark just goes, we all are.
Yeah,
you know, we're all this strong. And it was like, oh,
it's like, did you never hear of the Viltrumite Empire? We could rain fire on your planet with just one person.
Yeah, absolutely. So okay, so the robot war, it was one issue. Did it need to happen?
Yeah, because you needed to complete the story of the robot.
So I thought it was really interesting. I liked the way everything kind of went down with the, you know, with Thragg's children, with Mark flying immediately to the Immortal.
Right.
Which, like, at first you're like, where is he going? Like,
he's got to go get Abraham Lincoln.
Is he getting Abe? I did like when he kind of leaned in and the kids have been eavesdropping. He's like, hey, you guys ready for your first battle? And
yeah.
They're like, yeah.
Let's go.
We got to see Tech Jacket. We got Britt. I like the scene with Britt Jr. and Terra where she punches him through the wall.
Yeah.
And he's like, I didn't even feel it.
Yep.
And she's like, sweet. Like, I'm going to do some stuff. You know, it goes back to that issue when she was a little younger, when Alan's sitting there holding her and she's explaining, like, after the funeral for Oliver, that kind of was in the first issue of The End of All Things. And Mark had headbutted him, and she's like, why is your eye bleeding? He goes, well, it hurts, and it's really sensitive. And she's looking at him thinking, he goes, you're thinking about punching me in the eye, aren't you? And she's like, So.
Yeah, I'd like to see more of where her story goes, if they ever want to go back and, you know, do something. They have her story to tell.
I would like to see someone who's not Robert Kirkman live with these characters for a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't think Invincible Universe or Guardians of the Globe really did enough for the overall universe.
That's where you're like, Kirkman, it's Kirkman's universe.
Yeah. But like this scene in the robot war kind of near the end.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I want that as a poster.
Well, sure.
Where he's punching right through the chest.
Get a poster printer.
Yeah. I'm kidding. Saving the brain.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that's where you, I think that is where you realize that Mark has grown because he didn't just tear him apart.
Well, yeah, because there was a time where Mark would have just ripped him to shreds and been like, well, he attacked me. It was
threw him into the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is when he fought Thragg in the sun, it was all tactical.
And I do think him fighting Thragg in the sun was some of Kirkman's best writing, it's the inner monologue where Mark wishes he could hear him and everything.
Right.
But, you know, talking about how he's going to win and why he's going to win and where his strength comes from. And I do like that he takes the moment to lament that he doesn't know how to use robot suit with some of the weaponry. I thought that was a nice touch. But, yeah, it's... I'm sad that this series has ended, just because it's one of my favorites.
Right.
At the same time, man, did it go out on a high note.
Well, yeah.
And you have to applaud Kirkman for having the stones
to end a book.
To end a book. A superhero book at that.
Well, I mean, you know, he has to do something else.
And I
as a writer, you know, you can only do so much with a character before it turns into 75 years of Batman or 75 years of Superman, where it's like, you know, what else can we do?
Right.
As a storyline, you know? And that's the thing is Kirkman used pretty much every trope that had been done in comic books.
And then some, yeah.
Yeah, in 100 years and added to it. Mm-hmm. Added his take. His take to it and, you know, his imagination to it. And I think that, you know, being that he's a fan of comic books, knowing comic books, this book was the best DC Marvel Image book ever done.
Sure.
Because there's elements of Superman. Absolutely. There's elements of, you know,
there's some Spider-Man.
Everything.
Thrown in there.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, and that's the thing going back through the book. And that one of the best stories is the Marvel team up book where it's Invincible and Spider-Man.
Which you got me.
Yeah.
You found me at that expo one too. I'm going to actually probably this weekend go through and just start from the beginning.
Yeah.
And just kind of bust through and you know, read.
To each his own.
Read the whole thing. Just, I mean, I haven't read those first couple trades in a couple years. And,
right.
You know, I just
the Kirkman books that are still being published, Outcasts and Walking Dead, what do you think he'll end next?
Walking Dead.
You think so?
I think Walking Dead. I can see kind of like knowing what we know now that Invincible ended, you can go back and look and see, you know, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, they were starting to kind of set the,
and it looks like they're
starting
doing
to
that.
Set the table, to finish it off.
Right.
And again, knowing that and looking at this,
with them becoming part of the bigger world or whatever it is,
I think they're starting to, you know, they're going to end up just back in civilization as cogs in a machine.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
I will say this. If this new governor in The Walking Dead is evil, I'm out.
Yeah, it's kind of just a repeat story.
I've stuck with you for 160 some issues.
Right, yeah.
And at this point, if that's where you go, I'm out.
I could see that, yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's one of these things where this book, if it would have kept going, probably would have got worse.
Yeah, which again,
because we talked about it. The robot thing dragged out a little bit.
The whole
robot thing on the Flaxen world.
On the Flaxen world went for 7 issues too long.
Yeah,
you know the Angstrom Levy stuff.
The Angstrom Levy stuff works in the sense that they didn't overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have liked to see more of the parallel worlds. And that's where I think that we will see another Invincible story is because there is that universe where Robot is in an invincible body.
And there's also the table was set for that with Angstrom Levy's son.
Yeah.
With his weird talking fox buddy.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see something.
I like that they brought Darkwing back.
That was cool.
I thought
that was cool.
You know, it was... I liked Kid Invincible.
I think that he acknowledged the stuff that people have been asking for because if you read the letters column, there's a lot of like stuff where it's like, you know, people were like, where's this character? Where did this character go? Mm-hmm. What happened to this character? And it's like, you know, he didn't do it just because. He did it because he wanted the answer too. But it answered the questions that people had been asking.
And I think the way Darkwing disappeared during the Invincible War was kind of weird anyway. And it seemed like he should have come back sooner. I'm a little bummed there wasn't some sort of Dinosaurus Easter egg.
Yeah.
Because I think of as much as Eve or Samantha, if you will, helped help Mark become who he is. I think the real maturation of Mark Grayson started with his relationship with Dinosaurus.
Yeah.
Eve kept Mark from becoming a supervillain.
But Nolan made him who he was at the end of this book.
I don't think that the
credit mainly goes to Eve or Dinosaurus. I think it goes to Nolan.
You're right.
From the beginning, when he told him in the first issue, this is who you are. You know, that the way that this last issue began was Mark telling his son that story. And it's like, this is who you are.
With his twist.
Right. Where Nolan was giving him the keys to the kingdom.
Right.
And it took this long for Mark to see what the kingdom actually is.
My point about Dinosaurus, though, is not that wasn't the end evolution of Mark.
Right.
It was the start of, wait, I don't have to constantly react.
Right, yeah.
And I can take what Eve's been telling me, and I can take that foundation my dad gave me. And then I think on Nolan's deathbed, everything clicked.
Yeah. When I think that's the whole thing, is Nolan let Mark be who he was. You know, even when Nolan was, you know, pretty much revealing that he was a sleeper agent, it was to get Mark motivated.
Right.
Because he could see what he was. He was just going to be a layabout, book reading kid with superpowers.
Yeah.
And that's not what Nolan wanted for his son.
Well, and it's not what Nolan needed.
That's not why he told him the story he told him.
Right.
That's not why he wrote the books he wrote. You know, that's all that.
Yeah.
So
I think
if I wanted anything from the Invincible universe for Kirkman to work on, I want him to write Nolan's books.
Well, that'd be cool.
Not comic books, but just Nolan's novels. And so we can find out what his stories were actually about. Because they're about stuff that happened to him out in
novels,
the... Yeah, yeah.
Not the travel books.
Right, but like the sci-fi novels were stories about what he dealt with before he came to Earth.
Hey, Kirkman.
So
call Johnny. He'll help you out with that.
Yeah. I think it would be cool to see, you know, what... Because obviously he has an idea of what were in those books, so...
I mean, we saw...
And if we get a travel book for the Invincible Universe, too...
That'd
you
be
know,
fun.
Yeah. Las Vegas isn't there anymore, so...
Five places to fly overnight with your lady love.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Anyway, man, I love this
series. Five places to get in a bare knuckle brawl and have dinner.
You know, honestly, I want to say thank you to you for really insisting that I check this out.
I think there's a lot of people that I've insisted check this book out.
I want,
and
thank...
There still will be. Absolutely. The book's over, but it's like, you know what? Now I can say, there's a beginning and an end to this story.
Like, so the coaching tree that is Johnny.
What is
for
it, 24 trade paperbacks or 25? It's going to
be
25.
So I got Daryl reading this because
of
you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he hasn't read the final issue yet, but.
And Daryl's probably got somebody reading it because,
I think
it's a circle of life. Yes.
We talked about why is this book so special. About 100 episodes
I've
ago.
Never been able to really put my finger on it. I mean, we talked about it, but I've never been able to put my finger on it except for the fact that it's just fun.
I think
as serious as it gets in certain points, it's still fun.
I think what makes this book so special is it never took itself
all the
too
blood.
Well, there's that. But it never took itself too serious.
Well, right. Yeah, that's the fun of it.
It's
like,
it is this look of a kid who grew up with not only other superheroes in the world, but his dad being the superhero in the world. And you're absolutely right. Everywhere Mark was going, and like even up through issue 50, he very easily could have just been a kid laying on the couch eating Cheetos, smoking pot, flying around.
Right.
Like flying to his drug dealer, which would be an interesting alternate universe to see. But at the end of the day, you get these characters that do something that never happens in comics.
Yeah.
They grow.
Yeah.
The only character, modern, like big two character I can think of that's had this kind of growth is Damian Wayne.
I was going to say Damian.
That's it. Like, this is what.
And I don't even read Batman books, and I know that.
This is what I want. I want Marvel to look at this book and say, this is what we want to do with Miles Morales.
Yeah. Yeah. A beginning, a middle, and an end to a story of a character. Makes sense to me, and that's the problem that a lot of these comic book companies run into.
Right,
is there is no beginning, middle, or end to the characters. I mean, like I said, Batman and Superman been around for 75 years, so you know, 75 years of repeated history at times,
over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other great thing...
And Marvel does it, too. I mean, it's not like they don't do it, but, you know, they both do it. And that's the thing, is I feel like reboots could stop if they did stories like this.
Yeah.
You know?
I do have one thing I want to add, though, and it's really a message to Evan Goldberg and Seth Rogen.
Yeah?
Don't do a movie.
Yeah?
Don't do a series of movies. There's way too much here that you're going to just throw random shit into a blender and you're going to come out with something that kind of looks like Invincible that isn't. I think a TV series is
or how
too
about
much.
This? Don't do it as a movie or a TV series. Leave it alone. Let it be a comic book.
Yeah, they could do that. I still would love to see this as an animated series. Like, Spawn.
It could work as an animated series, but beyond why that, why do we need everything to be?
And we don't. Yeah. I'm 100% fine if this is it for Invincible. Yeah. And honestly, if this is it for Invincible, I'm over the moon about that.
If Kirkman comes back and wants to do some kind of miniseries with different characters in that, or co-write it, or have other people that work at Skybound
like
do
Thief
it.
Thief of Thieves, right? He was
even Ryan Ottley
came
could
up
write
with
stories
the,
at this point.
Well, I mean, and Ottley, so Ottley had a great interview.
I'm pretty sure he co-wrote a lot.
And. Yeah. I do think part of the thing that's funny about this is that Ottley came to him and said, I'm done, man. I can't do this anymore. It's
moving on.
It's well, it was taking his health. It was,
well, sure.
You know.
Nice guy, too. I mean, I met him at a convention once and genuinely a nice guy. It was right after the rape issue had come out.
Oh,
and that was the issue I took to get signed because it was the only issue I had in hand that I didn't have to dig out.
Right.
And he's like, oh, God. He goes, how many of these are am I going to sign? I'm like, I don't know. I said it was just the most current issue. So
it was the one that wasn't buried in a mountain.
And then I'm like, I want to buy that. I want to buy that. I want to buy that because he had so much different art on his table from different stuff he's worked on.
Well, that Venom and Spidey in the car that you got.
The Venom dog
is one of my favorite like little bits. And I still haven't got it framed.
Right. But like I bought the Invincible Baby one where it's all the characters as babies fighting each other full of blood.
Which I would love.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's one. I think you can go on his website and buy that stuff. And that some of them are retired, but like his sketchbooks, he draws some scary ass looking monsters.
I bet.
So, I mean, I would love to see him on a horror book.
I want to see him do his own thing.
Yeah.
Even do a creator, 100%
right,
creator owned.
Yeah. I mean, he said he's working on something, but he can't say what it is.
Which is awesome. And you know, I'm going to support him no matter what he does.
And, you know, it's the same with Kirkman. I'm going to check out Oblivion Song. That's the next one. And it's like, you know, I'll check it out. Outcast is good. It's just not something I can read on a normal basis.
Sure.
And that
I still haven't read the first two trades that I have for that one.
I read the first trade and it's dark. It's really dark. And it's like, you know, it's one of those things where you have to be in a mood to read that.
My
book.
Monster fill gets kind of full with Manifest Destiny.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't know, because I'm not as into monsters as you are.
Right.
So. Not that I don't like them.
Right.
Or appreciate them. I'm just not as
well. And the thing is Outcast is a totally different kind of monster because it's all the supernatural, you know, demon type stuff. So it's more Exorcist. And Exorcist is, you know, a movie that I can watch maybe once a year.
Yeah.
But I don't want to watch it more than once a year. So, but Oblivion Song sounds interesting. Just curious to see what it is.
Yeah.
You know.
All right.
And yeah, I do think The Walking Dead should end soon.
So go to Comixology. Pick up all 24 current Infamous Invincible trades that are out there. Use the code Infamous. You get money off.
Makes sense to me.
Why not, right? Yeah. I think there's actually a sale on Image Trades going on right now.
Oh, well, there
if
you
I
go then, yeah.
do remember correctly.
Is it like the Barnes & Noble one? Buy two, get one free?
No.
Oh.
But.
Oh. Too bad.
I like having, I love the fact that I have this series all on digital.
Well, yeah.
Because it is with me everywhere I go now.
Sure.
But yeah. All right. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's it.
Cool. All right, guys. Again, go to comixology.com. Oh, sorry. No, go ahead. My bad.
Thank you, Robert Kirkman.
Oh, yes.
Thank the art crew. Thanks, Skybound.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think if Skybound would have been around, this book would have lasted.
I agree.
You know, just thanks. Thank you for an excellent book.
Did you read the letters this time?
I did
around?
Not read the letters.
So in the very first one, he talks about at issue 6, they thought that was it.
Well, yeah.
And then going through the first 7 issues, they were done. And then like issue 11 had a pickup and then like had
an
upswing. And
that's
because
I told people
back in issue 11.
Yeah.
I didn't start.
I did. I seriously, this was a book where I found The Walking Dead. I'm not going to claim responsibility for anything. I found The Walking Dead first and then found out he was writing a superhero book and the first trade had come out.
Okay.
And I bought it and I read it and I literally read it like twice in a day because I was like, I'm confused. That was really good.
So I didn't start doing single issues of this one until issue 91.
I did single issues off and on, but I don't know where I started really buying them on a normal. It would have been, you know, when I wasn't working at Queen City on a normal basis.
Yeah.
Because at Queen City, I was reading them.
Right, but you weren't
buying them. But I was buying the trades. Yeah. So I've got like probably 12 trades, 12 of the trades, and that I just haven't gone and dug them out to see which ones I have.
And then
And thanks for that too, you guys. The sitcom names was hilarious.
So it's Family Matters, Eight Is Enough, Perfect Strangers, Head of the Class. You know, I mean, it just goes.
Yeah, yeah. It's like every 70s and 80s sitcom.
Who's the Boss? That's a good one.
I think they even got up into the 90s on some of them.
Yeah, I'm not. So one of the great things about the trades too,
yeah,
is you get the art notes.
Yeah, yeah.
So which I will end
and
up,
and that's where I will end up and go buy them.
Getting
on
all
copy.
Of these on in trade as well as the 53 single issues that I have. But all right, on that note, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week.
Go to
Comixology. Use this? Infamous.
Buy Saga. Buy, you know.
You can come. Don't forget, you can also come to the website and sign up for Marvel Unlimited or Marvel Comixology Unlimited.
Yeah.
So you can do that, and then you can read all of this stuff because it's all on Comixology Unlimited right now.
What is that monthly?
I think it's $9.99 a month, that's just like Marvel bad. Unlimited, nah, but nah. You get.
Yeah.
I mean, you everything. Get to read everything. Yeah. So. Like, because Marvel Unlimited is just Marvel. And
well,
actually,
sure.
Marvel is now in the Comixology Unlimited.
So you
so
can
it's
read
truly
all that.
Everything.
Yeah.
You get DC, you get IDW, you get Marvel, you get Top Cow, you get Image, you get Skydown, you get.
Yeah, if you like reading comics digitally, definitely do it.
All right, we will be back next week.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. To stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.